Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, and you can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your local real estate needs. And just a reminder, as always, please support the show very simply by hitting the subscribe button. That's first and foremost. Every podcast platform has a subscribe button. Hit that button. Listen, if you're not sure if you've hit it, hit it. And then if it unsubscribes you, hit it again. It's actually good for the algorithm. And then please go ahead and if you're on YouTube, like the video, right? It's one little click. Like it. Like the video. Make sure that you leave me a comment. I've gotten some good questions on YouTube lately. I'd love to answer those questions. Leave me questions, leave me comments, all of those good things. Leave a rating if you're using Apple Podcasts. Anything like that helps to support the show. So I'd appreciate if you guys could do that. And if you could use me as your realtor, that would also be great because I don't do this just for fun, although I do enjoy it. I do this to further my business, right? At the end of the day, I've gotten a lot of clients who found me first through the show. And if you're the next one, that would be great. So please reach out to me if I can help you with any of that. Speaking of people finding me through the show, a lot of people find me through the show who are researching the Southeast and they're researching South Carolina and they're researching Greenville and they're looking for content on the Carolinas specifically. The Carolinas are a hot topic on a many, many levels. I listen to a lot of national podcast. I'm constantly availing myself to national content on the real estate market. You hear people talk about the Carolinas all the time. The Carolinas are very different, right? One thing that's really interesting, as there's been all this talk about bringing reshoring manufacturing in the U.S., right? This is a big agenda for the Trump administration. Well, we've already done that quite a bit in the state of South Carolina. Manufacturing in South Carolina has gone way, way up. In the Southeast as a whole, it has really the past 30 years. And how has that happened? Well, there are a variety of reasons. I'm not really wanting to talk about that. But then with that, people are seeing, okay, so there is this baseline blue collar economy. But also, really, Greenville is a white collar economy, right? When people think about Greenville, they don't think about inherently about manufacturing. A lot of those manufacturing jobs result in there being a lot of white collar jobs as well. And so people see all of that, and then they see the housing prices, and they're like, okay, now we get it. This is still a very affordable market in comparison to other parts of the US that have the sort of economy that we have here in Greenville and in the Carolinas as a whole. And so it starts to click for people who are looking for real estate investments. They're looking for places to put their money that are safe but still up and coming. And there's not a ton of those left at the end of the day. And so the Carolinas becomes one of those markets, right? And Greenville specifically, one of those markets where outside money, and we know this, we've known this for a while. Outside money is coming in because of all these different dynamics. So one question that I get frequently from people who are doing all this research and coming to this conclusion that a lot of other people are coming to or already have come to, which is that they need to invest in the Carolinas and specifically in Greenville. A lot of the question that I get, or one of the main questions that I get is, I want it, when will it be too late to invest in Greenville? Because I want to get in, I want to get into the Greenville market, and I don't want to miss the boat, right? I don't want to be the guy that waited until the day after the Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson, metro area took off. I don't want to be that guy that's left out in the cold. I've got real estate holdings in all of these other markets, but I don't have it in Greenville. At what point will it be too late? Well, I want to address that. I don't have the magic answer to that question, but I want to fill you guys in on a lot of different current developments and different things that I'm thinking about when it comes to answering this question, okay? So let's just talk about real big picture, right? If you know nothing about Greenville, this is going to be really helpful for you. And even if you do know some things about Greenville, this probably will, you'll find some parts of this that are helpful for you. First and foremost, we need to discuss the mayor, okay? Mayor Knox White. It's funny, I follow a lot of financial, what we call financial Twitter, which is funny because it's using the British pronunciation of, or at least what I think is the British pronunciation of financial. And then Twitter is not the term anymore. The website is X. But anyway, we still call it FinTwit. It's basically all the people on Twitter who are talking about the financial sphere, economics, all of that. I follow a lot of them because it's one of the last parts of social media that is genuinely nonpartisan. Now, there's still some partisan aspects of it, but these are people that want to get to the bottom of the economy, right? There is not an inherently partisan element to, I want to get to the bottom of the economy so that I can invest in it. Like, these people are just money focused at the end of the day. I see a lot of interesting stuff on there. Well, one of my contacts, who is someone I believe with Bloomberg, recently tweeted out a picture of Mayor Knox White. And this is in response to a whole another discussion about Greenville, and said and was kind of amazed that the mayor has been mayor for 30 years. Like, he had never heard of anything like this before. A town that's growing like Greenville and that's the size of Greenville having the same mayor for 30 years. And it's random on so many levels, right? Not only is that rare that you would keep electing the same person over and over again, it's rare that the same person, that Knox White didn't at some point make a political run, right? For like governor or something like that. Like you see on the show The Wire, the guy's, trying to work his way up the totem pole, starting low, making his way up. That's the way that Obama got into the White House, right? He started as a just a community, can't even remember what the term was, but he started just like a community leader, worked his way up. Eventually he was so politically gifted that he became president. Well, that's the way our mayor has been, except that he stayed mayor. He didn't have those broader political aspirations. At least he didn't pursue them if he did. And so here we are. He's been mayor for 30 years. He's overseen one of the greatest downtown transformations that we've had in our country, right? Downtown Greenville went from being a place that you were not safe to go around into one of the most well-known and attractive downtowns in all of the United States. The mayor has said that he's serving his final term and that he is going to ride off into the sunset and that this is it. This is his final term. That's something to keep in mind, right? I don't know what that means. And I'm going to tell you a lot of these things that are big picture things, and I don't exactly know what it means for the future of Greenville, but these are the things that will determine, at least some of the things that will determine the future of Greenville. Some of the factors, some of the elements that you need to be considering as you try to figure out, okay, at what point will it be too late? One of these things to consider is that we have incredible multi-decade stability in the mayor's in the mayor's office, and that will most likely be changing in the next election cycle. So we need to consider that. The mayor has done a lot of tremendous things. He's had tremendous leadership, or he's brought tremendous leadership. He's brought a unified vision to the city. And I think that has been huge. I assume he will handpick a replacement and that handpicked replacement most likely will win. But there's still going to be a lot of things that we don't know that they might take the city in a different direction. Hopefully not a bad direction, hopefully good, right? Not everything that the mayor has done do I agree with. Like, for instance, we have basically no food trucks in downtown Greenville. I'm not happy about that. Now, the mayor is not responsible 100% for all these things. We've got a city council and city manager and all of that. But sometimes there needs to be new leadership to help improve some things. Like, there's no reason why we should have food trucks having to hang out at gas stations, which is what you see in Greenville. We should have, like, imagine if we had just an area of Greenville that currently has nothing going on in the city limits and just packed 10 to 15 food trucks in there every single day. You're telling me that people wouldn't show up, wouldn't do that? Anyway, sorry, that's an aside. But these are the sorts of things that I think perhaps could be a positive on new leadership. On the other end of the spectrum, obviously there's a lot of negatives you can come up with, right? Like I already said, the mayor has brought a unified vision, and a ton of experience, from a whole lot of different things to Greenville. And there's no guarantee that the next mayor will do that. So we got to keep that in mind. On the county level, I've talked about county council multiple times on the show. A few things to consider on the county level. First off, the county council, very anti-development. This is a stark contrast to the city council, which is very pro-development in many ways. Now, city council is very restrictive, right? They put a lot of rules into those developments, but they are pro-development. County council, they're not. They're putting rules into place, but they're putting rules into place in order to try to prevent development. It's a completely different mindset. They don't want development, right? They're hearing from their constituents that we don't want any more anything. No more houses, no more hotels, no more shops, restaurants. We don't want these things. And they're listening to them. In fact, there was one member of county council recently that tried to get the county council to essentially, for all intents and purposes, not listen to their staff, right? Okay. County council is made up of volunteers, right? If you're a county councilman, that's not your job. That is something that you're doing for the love of Greenville, in theory. Maybe for power, who knows? But that is a volunteer thing. But we do have staff. They have administrative staff members who do the heavy lifting for county council, and then the county council will assess what the staff has told them, and then they will use that to inform how they vote, what decisions they make, all of those things. Well, there's a county council person recently that made a serious push that they should ignore all staff recommendations and only accept essentially recommendations directly from citizens, from Greenville citizens. Now, if you think, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is that we are not, we are a democratic republic in terms of the form of our government. Our government is not a direct democracy. And there's a reason for that. And there's a reason why direct democracies have not traditionally worked. And that's because you get all these competing opinions from a lot of people that don't know what they're talking about. And then basically the majority just rules. And this is essentially what some people in county council want to happen right now. They just want a mob rule kind of government. And that's wrong. Like that's insane. There has to be leadership from the county government. And currently there is a massive lack of leadership, in my opinion, in our county council. And what I mean from that, we just talked about the mayor. Let's talk about someone who is a leader, and that's Mayor Knox White. Like him or hate him, he is a leader. When they proposed Falls Park and the creation of what is now considered one of the top 10 parks in our country, they were almost universally chastised for it. The media chastised them. The people chastised them. Nobody wanted it. And the mayor and the city council at that time, they knew that we needed it. They knew that it would be for the better of the city. They just knew, okay? And they were willing to sacrifice their political future in order to make it happen. And like it or not, Falls Park is against the will of a lot of people. a lot of people who really, really now would say that they were for Falls Park. And that's the thing that drives me crazy, right? I bet if you talk to the county council people and ask them, what do you think about Falls Park? They'd all think it's fantastic. Obviously, they'd have things that they would improve here or there, whatever. Do you think Falls Park, do you think Greenville's better or better with Falls Park, or would be better off without it? They would, I'm pretty sure all 12 of them would say we're better for having it. But you know what? If they had been in city council 30 years ago when votes were being made on the development around Falls Park, I bet that probably 9 out of the 12 would have voted against it. And that's because they would have just been listening to their constituents and not providing actual leadership, not actually trying to listen to staff, not trying to actually assess the goodness of the project, not trying to actually educate their constituents in any meaningful way. Just it's not a healthy way of running government when you just listen to your constituents and just do what they say without getting any sort of expert opinion, without getting any sort of third party input. And county council would say, well, we are getting third party input. They're getting third party input to rubber stamp what they're already doing. Like that's what we keep seeing. Like they will basically put a moratorium on certain developments in order to do a study, and they'll do the study in a way that they know will then essentially allow them to restrict development even more. And then they'll open it up. You know, they'll release the moratorium, they'll open it up. And I'm not just talking about, I'm saying a lot about Greenville County Council, but there's other county councils and city councils in the upstate that are doing this too. So I need to be clear on that before it just sounds like I'm just coming after Greenville County Council. But they're just doing a lot of things that are not for the good of the county, but for the good of their own political prospects. And perhaps they do believe it. Perhaps they do believe in the anti-development stuff. And it's not so much for a lack of leadership, it's just for a lack of education and understanding. But this is what's happening, okay? That's something you need to keep in mind in the backdrop, is that we're going to see a lot less development in Greenville in the future, and a lot less development in Pickens County, in particular. And in some other counties as well. Spartanburg is not quite as anti-development right now. Parts of Easley and some other areas not quite as anti-development, but it's spreading everywhere. People just want to they don't want there to be any more change. And so that's something that we need to keep in mind. The other thing we need to keep in mind is obviously, whether, and this is a big question with whether when it will be too late to invest in Greenville, is home prices, right? I told you guys this before. A huge part of the appeal of Greenville is the affordability piece. Once Greenville and the upstate becomes unaffordable, a huge amount of the draw for the area goes away. Well, Zillow, which oftentimes is wrong, but they believe that the upstate will see prices go down this year. We'll see. Very possible. I made my own predictions earlier this year. We'll see who's right. There are potentials for us to go into a recession that could cause prices to go down. We could also see a scenario where prices go way back up. We have a lot of pent-up demand in the market right now. That much I can tell you. This is a nationwide thing, not specifically a Greenville thing. We have pent up demand that if we see mortgage rates come down, that demand is going to get flooded into market. So you need to be paying very, very close attention to mortgage rates, to affordability concerns, to all of those things. If you are interested in investing right now in Greenville and mortgage rates are not a huge factor for you, maybe you're a cash buyer, maybe you're okay with basically breaking even or not making a whole lot of money on a rental, for instance, then you should really consider buying in the near future before mortgage rates start to come back down. Because once they come back down, there is a point. We don't know what that point is. I think it's probably in the fives, right? We've been in the sixes per Mortgage News Daily for some time now. I think if we got into the fives, we would start to really see some of that demand flood back into the market. That would cause prices to go up again. That would cause a lot of changes in the market. We'll say it that way. Now, when's that going to happen? Well, listen to a couple of episodes, my Q&A, and I discussed when I think it's possible that we could see mortgage rates come down to the fives. But those are a lot of things, and those are things that could happen very, very quickly. Additional things to consider: the major developments we have planned and where they are likely to be planned next. Okay, we've talked about this on the show. I released a video on my YouTube page about the Greenville County Square project. I'm hoping, if I can get to it later this week, to release something about the Gateway project as well. That's something in the works. I just haven't had time to get to it yet. Been a little busy. My wife has had some health issues that's caused some setbacks. But I am planning to work on some more of this content for you guys. But consider that, okay? Because that obviously has a huge impact on what's happening in our area. Another thing to consider: the lack of foreclosures, right? This is something I think a lot of people are just assuming a bunch of foreclosures will come back in the market. The moment that's not happening, okay? Will that last forever? I don't know. There's a tremendous amount of factors at play when it comes to foreclosures. One is that people have a lot more options to get out of a defaulted mortgage than they did in the past. One of them is to just sell. And this is, an option that a lot of people didn't have in 2008, 2009, when home prices went down so far that they had over leveraged. They had, 0% down, not enough income to pay their mortgage, all these things. So they had no equity. So they either had to sell for a loss, which they couldn't do, or they had to foreclose. So they just foreclosed. A lot of people now, they could sell for a loss if they had to. And they will do just that if they need to. And that's better than a foreclosure, right? Because you sell for a loss, your credit isn't impacted. Whereas if you get foreclosed on, you might not be able to buy another home for 3, 5, 7 years. Maybe even longer than that, depending on what other things are going on in your credit. So that's another consideration. Another consideration is, how long will it be until Greenville takes its final form? Now, no city has a, and no county has a true final form. But when you go to Atlanta, you go to Charlotte, you go to New York, you go to all these big cities, San Francisco, there is a final formness to them. Greenville's not there yet. Okay. For instance, our city hall is about to undergo a huge transformation. I just said our county square underwent and is undergoing a huge transformation. Right, these are the major parts of our local government. You go to these other cities, and that's not happening. Their local government, it's set, it's done. Where they are, they'll make tweaks, they'll make improvements, but they're not demoing their entire county council area and all of their county government offices and putting in something else for the most part. So Greenville still hasn't taken its final shape. When will it take its final shape? I don't know. I don't know. And obviously, when I say that, that doesn't mean that there won't still be changes happening. I'm just saying the general, when you look at Greenville, you kind of know, okay, this is basically 80% of what we have here is going to be this, and it's not going to change. I personally don't think that we are anywhere near that, probably 15, 20, maybe 30 years away from something like that, from us being at the point where development in Greenville is like, okay, Greenville is kind of pretty much done. Now, with all of that in mind, I want to say this. I always tell people, do not try to time the market. And I am amazed by how many people understand this when it comes to other investments, but then somehow forget it when it comes to real estate. Remember that real estate is pegged to the real economy more so than other investments, way more so than other investments. For example, while there will be wild swings in the stock market and crypto and the bond market, et cetera, just on a daily basis, and those swings oftentimes are based on speculation, based on reading the tea leaves, based on employment data that's come out that week, even statements from the Federal Reserve, which, by the way, all of these things are pretty much backwards looking, not forward looking. Those things will swing the real sorry, swing the stock market, swing the crypto market, swing the bond market, swing currency markets, Forex, all of these different things, in ways that real estate just isn't going to swing on a day-to-day basis, right? Real estate is not prone to those speculative swings. I'm not saying there's not speculation in real estate, it's just different. Real estate goes up or goes down in real time as the economy is shifting and as seasonal dynamics take shape. Or to say that another way, for real estate to bottom out, that generally means that the economy has bottomed out or is bottoming out, which is a big difference from how the stock market works. Which, you know, the stock market, I do think in general is a good reflector of what's happening in the broader economy. But there are some very key times when the stock market can be completely decoupled from reality. For instance, I remember one time during the pandemic when Costco's stock price plummeted on the same day that Costco set record sales. Okay, that does not make sense. Except for the fact that people were speculating that because of the pandemic that we were going to have an economic crash. And so even though, yeah, Costco was setting record sales, it doesn't matter because in 6 months they're not going to be selling anything because our whole economy is going to be shut down. That's what traders were thinking. They were wrong. Real estate doesn't do this, okay? If real estate is if the economy is doing poorly, that's reflected in real time in the real estate data. In fact, a great way to assess how the economy is doing is to assess what's happening in the real estate market. If the economy is great, real estate's going to be great. If the economy's bad, real estate's going to be bad, generally speaking. Now, we do have some little nuances in there with regard to sometimes the economy doing poorly can result in mortgage rates coming down, can result in a pickup in real estate demand. But that's more the anomaly. That's more the exception than the rule. Perhaps the exception that proves the rule, if you want to get fancy with me. But generally speaking, real estate follows the real economy. Okay. And so, all that to say, with real estate, not only is it hard to predict the dips and bottoms in the market, but it's also hard to predict the feasibility of even investing in real estate in a bottoming market. Because if real estate is bottoming, usually the economy is also bottoming, right? Which means that then capital dries up, people, including real estate investors, lose their jobs. Investing becomes riskier because your ability to sell or refinance gets difficult, right? There might not be the possibility to sell or refinance, or refinancing might be way more expensive. You just got a whole mess of things going on in a lot fewer potential options. So long story short, you simply can't predict the dips or the bottoms or what ramifications those dips or bottoms will have on your ability, on you and your ability to purchase real estate. So if there's a deal in real estate today, don't wait until tomorrow. And if there's not a deal today, don't force it just to force it. Either scenario is bad, okay? And I just want to tell you guys, okay? There's a lot of people begging for a real estate crash. Don't be one of those people. Like, I know that you're angry. If you're one of those people, I know you're angry, you're hurt. Someone hurt you, I don't know who. But you're not going to be able to buy a house probably if the economy crashes. The economy crashes, real estate crashes, you're going to lose your job. It's going to be harder to get a mortgage. Lenders are going to tighten up. They're going to get stricter with who they lend to. It's not having a crash where prices go down sounds so good on the surface level until you get under the hood. And it's always bad under the hood. The only people that benefit from a crash are the ultra wealthy. The normal people like me and you, not going to benefit. Why do the ultra wealthy benefit? Because they have the money. Warren Buffett right now is sitting on billions, I think, or maybe trillions of dollars of cash. He's ready. He's waiting. He's just waiting for that crash to happen so he can buy up everything. You think you're going to outbuy Warren Buffett? I don't think so. Okay, let's get real here. Okay, enough big picture. Let's talk about the topic at hand. When will it be too late to invest in Greenville? All right. Well, if you're talking about being able to buy houses for less than $100,000, there are still those opportunities, but you have to be prepared to sit on the investment, right? Those opportunities have almost completely gone away, but there are a few if you're willing to be very, very patient, buy and hold for a long time. And you say, well, Stan, I've been looking on realtor.com, homes.com, whatever, and I've been seeing those $100,000 houses and they're in the slums. It's not like it was in 2010 when you could buy in good neighborhoods at those prices, right? I've heard people say these sorts of things. And my response is, yes, it is, right? My first house I bought for $80,000 and the neighborhood was in bad shape. Now, I don't use the word slum. That's a bad word. That's a no-no word if you're a realtor. Shame on you if you use that. My neighborhood wasn't a slum. I'm not going to refer to any neighborhood in that way. But it was in bad shape. There were foreclosures everywhere, lawns super high. My house had been vacant for 2.5 years. I didn't even want to buy the house, but I couldn't afford anything else at that stage of my life. I was in my early 20s with a kid. Now that house, which I still own, I Airbnb it now, it's worth over $400,000. Okay. But if it was so obvious in 2010 that that was going to happen, there would have been a line of people to buy it for the price that I bought it for $80,000, right? The thing is that people aren't willing to take the risk. They just look at all of the circumstances around it and they think, oh my goodness, I can't see how this could improve. This is a slum. I don't want to be involved with that, right? That's what I hear people say. And they're forgetting that that's where all the money is. Right? You have to be willing to sit and hold on a property. And if you're going to compare the current market to what the market was like 15 years ago, you need to be willing to consider whether whatever you invest in right now is something you'd be willing to hold on to for 15 years, because there are some areas of Greenville that will look a lot different in 15 years. Right? My house that I bought 15 years ago, I didn't know that it was gonna go up this much in value in 15 years. I had no idea. Nobody did. I didn't buy it for that reason. I bought it because I was tired of renting, quite frankly. And it worked out. But if you're going to compare the market that far back, you need to compare the current opportunities to what those opportunities will look like in 15 years. Now, we don't know what they'll look like in 15 years. So that's where you have to use your imagination. Okay, so what are the areas that are guaranteed to go up in value in the next 15 years? Listen, if I knew that, you think I would just be giving that information for free on a podcast? Come on now. Come on. That's not how this works. Let's be real. But what I will tell you, since I can't answer that question for a variety of reasons, tons of liability to answer that question, even speculating, I'm going to tell you that you can figure some of this out yourself by using some common sense, right? For starters, the areas around downtown Greenville have consistently gained value over the years, right? Downtown, obviously, is the focal point of Greenville County. And there has been urban sprawl from downtown. You know, the west end of Greenville was not worth going to 15 years ago. It was rough. It was tough. I got pulled over and on the west end just trying to get back to my apartment before I lived in a house. Just because I was driving around late at night, I just got pulled over. And they were about to take me into the station, except that I had printed out MapQuest directions. This is aging me. This is before I had a smartphone, didn't even have a GPS. I had MapQuest directions printed out. And they saw in the directions that it had me going through that area. Well, the West End now has some of the best places to eat, best places to drink, Unity Park, some great historic districts. It's completely different now. Okay. And so that's just the classic example, right, of an area that absorbed or that was kind of absorbed into downtown. But all of the areas around downtown Greenville have consistently seen that sort of growth. So keep that in mind. Consider that when you're looking at these different areas. Consider as well the major developments that are planned. We kind of already talked about this earlier in this show. I've talked about it many times over the years in this podcast. We talked about Poe Mill. We talked about the Gateway Project. There's all sorts of things to consider when it comes to that. Obviously, the County Square Project, but there's a whole lot more. Right near the Motor Mile on Lawrence Road, there's massive developments with the Hollingsworth development that are planned for over there. You can find all these things really easily. Educate yourself on the areas that have these proposed developments in the works, and use that to inform where you're targeting, because those areas we'll see home values rise as they get all of this development money pumped into them. Look at the areas as well that just seem out of place, right? Maybe they are high value locations that are abandoned, right? Maybe they are areas, and by high value places, I mean like near shopping, near downtown, near. And maybe not even downtown Greenville, maybe near another downtown, things like this. Maybe there are areas that are wedged in between multiple luxury housing developments. These are the sorts of things. If you find something that just looks out of place, you might have found something where there's an opportunity. I remember years ago, and I've shared this story a few times on here, years ago, the first time I drove through the village of West Greenville. And saw on, that Pendleton Street, the little main street that they have there now. And I was like, I remember driving through and just being like, this is gonna be something. Like, this is everything here, the infrastructure is here for this to just be like another cute little downtown space. Within 2 years, it was completely filled with tenants. Everything that was boarded up was unboarded up. And it was the village of West Greenville, a form of it that we have now. And, at that time, I mean, you could buy homes there for $40,000, homes that are now selling for $500,000. And you know what? I saw that. I didn't buy in that area. I should have bought in that area. Sometimes I overthink these things. It's like I see the vision. And I'm just like, yeah, but I don't want to be the guy that's buying in that area. I should have bought in that area. Come on. I make mistakes too. Sometimes I don't take my own advice. But look at those areas that seem out of place or that seem like there's something that could have potential. Look at the areas that are just now starting to see development, right? 20 years ago, Five Forks was farmland. Now Five Forks is one of the hottest areas to live. 30 years ago, Greer, outside of downtown Greer, was all farmland. Now, Greer is one of the hottest areas for people to live in. And if you can see, once developers start to buy up these farm parcels in some of these areas and they start putting up homes there, that's an indicator, right? The developers aren't stupid. They know what they're doing. They have reasons for building where they are building, and you can ride their coattails a lot of times. So follow the developers. Follow the grocery stores. Look where the grocery stores are going, right? Particularly the nice grocery stores like the Harris Teeters, the Lowe's Foods, things like that. We have a lot of fancy grocery stores. This is something that's happened the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years here in Greenville we've transitioned from Buy Low, which went bankrupt, to now getting a lot of these more high-end grocery stores. And they have the high-end grocery stores. Listen, I know this from having talked to a lot of people that have dealt with them. They are so picky on where they go. And really any grocery store is. They're very, very picky. They've got certain demographics they're looking for. They need something. They need it to be certain demographic now, and they need it to be going that a certain way in the future. So if you see grocery stores going in somewhere, you need to be thinking, you need to perk up a little bit, okay? Because they just did a ton of research for you and just planted a flag in that area where they did research and said, this is going to be a great area, most likely. We put in hundreds of thousands of dollars of research and concluded that right here is where we want to put a grocery store. Why do you think they did that? Look for those grocery stores, okay? Look as well at the future of the Swamp Rabbit Trail. You can go on City of Greenville's website, look at all of their plans for the Swamp Rabbit Trail. That's our main bike trail here in the upstate. There's a few of them. But in terms of Greenville, the main bike trail that currently connects Traverse Rest to downtown Greenville, and then also has a whole lot of spurs going off a whole lot of areas. Eventually, they want it to connect all the way down to Fountain Inn. It's fantastic. It's a great trail. Everyone loves it, and it's been a boon for economic activity. And everywhere that it goes, those areas see improvement in one way or another. So, if you see an area that is near where the Swamp Rabbit Trail is projected from the city of Greenville to be expanded to, that's an area worth considering. Because it's always possible it won't work out, but they're really invested in the Swamp Rabbit Trail. I feel like it's going to work out, that the areas that they're saying that they're going to expand the trail to and do all these spurs to and whatnot, I think they're going to do it. And as well, sometimes you just need to not overthink it, right? So I'll give an example here. There are some townhomes, brand new townhomes right now, built right across the street from Bob Jones University, off of Pleasantburg. They're nice. I've toured them. They're very nice. Now, the street's very busy, and you get views of Bob Jones, which it's my alma mater, so I'm not going to trash them. But the reality is, it's not the most attractive school to look at. Like, this is the Furman, right? At the end of the day, particularly that side of Bob Jones, is not the most attractive side of the campus to look at. But these townhomes are going for, some of them are going for 300,000. Brand new townhomes, nice floor plans, garages. I see 20-year-old dumpy townhomes in some other parts of the upstate that aren't nearly as central as that location by Bob Jones, going for 275, 280 all day, every day. And I'm just like, people are overthinking this, right? These townhomes across from Bob Jones, they've lowered the price now because nobody's buying them. There's a huge demographic of people that are overthinking this, okay? Now, maybe they're concerned about the direction of Bob Jones. I'm recording this a few weeks early from when I'm going to release it. But they just announced today, as I'm recording this, a new president of the school. The new president of the school, he's a 70-year-old gentleman who used to be on the faculty. I don't know. Bob Jones has had a lot of turnover recently in terms of their presidents, a lot of layoffs, and buildings on the campus have been basically condemned and shut down. I don't know what the future of that school is, but it's got to either get better or they're going to have to sell that campus at some point. And I'm not sure what exactly is going to happen, but basically I see the Pleasantburg and Wade Hampton areas that go around the school. I see tremendous value there because, like I said, the status quo can't remain at the school. It has to either see vast improvements or they're just going to have to move. And if they move, that would be some of the most prime real estate in Greenville to ever sell, at least since I've been here. Because it's right by downtown Greenville. That whole area is ripe for redevelopment. And so there's just a lot of opportunity there. And again, sometimes you can just overthink it, like I did, right, with the Village of West Greenville. I saw it, I was like, this is it. There's gonna be something incredible here. And I chose to not take advantage of what was so obvious to me. And within a couple of years, it wasn't too late, but it was too late to buy a house for 40,000, right? Now it probably is too late to buy, a decent investment over there. There's still some little pockets in that area where I still think that there are good investments, but it's just not what it was, obviously 10, 15 years ago. So these are the sorts of things that I'm thinking about. Again, it's not too late, right? But it's never what you think it's going to be, right? It's never just this really obvious, huh, here's a $50,000 house in a wonderful part of the city of Greenville. It's never that obvious. You always have to do your homework and think through it like a business person. So I hope that thinking about it from all of these different directions, I've thrown a lot of different ideas at you guys, a lot of different considerations, and I hope that these things will help you guys to be able to have some hooks to hang your thoughts on as you assess the market. Of course, I'm an asset to you. If you need a realtor, I can help you work through these things and give you my thoughts and opinions. I'm obviously not going to steer you, but I can help you to find what you're looking for. So please reach out to me. My contact information is in the show notes if you need a realtor in the Greenville area. And please, if this content's helpful for you, like, rate, review, subscribe, all of those good things. And we will talk again next time.